stiff arm. Gore cuts it inside. Frank Gore is still going. Touchdown, San Francisco.
Two from the 40, couple of tight ends, receiver right and Adrian. Hand off Adrian. Scoots loose up the middle. Across the 30, to the 20, inside the 10. Touchdown!
First down and 10, Johnson. Gets a shoulder square. Watch out! He's got getting away from the top speed. Touchdown!
Welcome into Grinding the Edge here on South Hartman. I'm your host, Koopa, and you can find me on X at Dynasty Koopa and everywhere else at Koopa Troopa 8. If you haven't gone to check out everything we have over at southharmonff.com, you need to go and do that. Right now, we are in the middle of the season, so everything is firing on all cylinders. We have new podcasts coming out on this podcast feed. We have new content coming out on all the South Harmon channels, and we have all sorts of new things on the website as well. So make sure to go to southharmonff.com to make sure you're plugged into everything that's going on here. This week, I'm going through some data that I started collecting due to a question from Tommy Blair over at the Superflex Super Show Discord. The question he initially asked me was, could I get the number of players that are rostered for each league that has 28-man roster sizes? And so what I did was I just went to my data that I have and I pulled, okay, for every single league that has a total of 28 roster spots, what is that spread between the quarterbacks, running backs, wide receivers, and tight ends? What do those averages look like for the different teams? So I got those numbers and initially posted them over there for him. But I realized that there might be some context missing and that we should maybe be taking a look at what this looks like across other roster sizes and make sure that, you know, there isn't some kind of trend that as we increase, maybe certain positions tap out and we realize that there's just not that many more players that people are even willing to roster, even if they have larger roster sizes. So what I did was I went all the way down to roster sizes of 22, all the way up to roster sizes of 35, pulled all the data, and now I'm going to talk about it for you. Now, the first thing to look at is all the way down at the roster size of 22. Now, this total number, I need to give you the caveat of it adds up to 23.5, but that's because we have some players that are on taxis or in IR. So especially down here at these lower numbers, they're going to be higher than the quote-unquote total number of players on that roster size. But I figure that this data is still important to look at in the holistic regard of the total number of players that are rostered, and we're just going to subtly ignore the variances that could come in either larger or smaller taxi sizes as we increase the overall roster size. So starting with where we have those 22 players on each team, 3.8 of them are quarterbacks, 7 of them are running backs, 9.3 of them are wide receivers, and 3.3 of them are tight ends. So in those 22-man rosters, we're rostering a total of 40 tight ends across the league. The tight ends don't matter strategy has a lot more players to choose from if you're in that kind of league. Quarterbacks, we still aren't rostering that many. We aren't even up to above 45. So a lot of those backups outside of the really high value ones, they're available on waivers. So you can oftentimes, if your starter goes down, get the backup that you need just off of the waiver wire. Obviously the high value guys are still going to be rostered. So you need to account for that if your backup is one of those highly valued guys. Running backs, 7 per team, makes a lot of sense to me. 84 running backs rostered in total means that across the teams in the NFL, you're rostering 2.5 to 2.6 running backs for every single team. That makes sense because we're going to be able to start these running backs pretty regularly across whenever they're going to get their starts. So we like seeing that number. But that last one, the wide receiver's 9.33, that 9.33 number equates to a total of 112 wide receivers rostered across this entire league. Across a 22-man roster, 112 wide receivers. If we're playing the idea of, hey, I only want to roster guys in the top 50 on my team, well, that means that we've got 62 wide receivers that shouldn't be rostered on these teams. If you're trying to do a strategy where you are utilizing wide receivers that are on the waiver wire, you still have plenty of guys to choose from when injuries come around. This means you only have about 3.5 rosters per, or 3.5 wide receivers per NFL team. And so those fourth and fifth wide receivers who you can predict are going to have a spike week because there's somebody in front of them who is injured and they're going to have this opportunity with this matchup or something like that, those guys are still available on the waiver wire. So you end up having this dead zone of all these wide receivers that are rostered. But this is kind of more of a roster construction discussion. So knowing this and in terms of how they are rostered in those 22-man leagues, I wanted to start iterating up one by one and paying attention to how these numbers change as we get to different roster sizes overall. So going up to 23-man rosters, you end up adding on an additional 0.12 quarterbacks, which means that we're getting about 1.5 more quarterbacks, where you end up adding 0.18 running backs, or slightly more than 2. We end up adding 0.3 wide receivers, or in that case about 3.5, and 0.12 tight ends, or an additional 1.5. What I want to take away from this is the baseline ratios of how many quarterbacks, running backs, wide receivers, and tight ends are being added relative to each other. In this case, I'm going to normalize it to quarterbacks, so the ratio of quarterbacks is always 1. So for every 1 quarterback, we are adding 1.36 running backs, 2.2 wide receivers, and 0.9 tight ends. So basically, for every backup quarterback, we're adding another tight end to somebody's rosters. And then we're adding in another 4 running backs and wide receivers, guys that you would normally end up putting into your flexes. Now, as we increase our way through this data, those ratios seem to hold pretty close. So whereas it was 1 to 1.3, 2.2, and 0.9, as we go up, we get 1 to 1.6, 2.4, and 1.0, 1 to 1.4, 2.5, and 0.9, 1 to 1.4, 2.6, 1.0, 1 to 2, 2.4, 1.1, and 1 to 1.2, 2.4, 0.9, all the way up through 28 teams. Now, I want to point out that when we got to that 27-team number, that running back number spiked up quite a bit. And that just happens to do with the fact that with that specific one, the number of quarterbacks added was so low that it allowed the ability for those running backs to spike up. And the total number of players rostered between 26 and 27 actually only increased by 0.3, when you would expect it to increase by 1. So I think there's a little bit of a data problem there that maybe people that were playing in 27-team leagues or something like that ended up causing some weird data skewing. My data set only included slightly over 1,327 man leagues, so maybe that just wasn't enough data in order to get a consistent number for 27, or same thing for 26. I had right around the same number of leagues there as well. But there's an overall trend here when you're talking about going from 22 all the way up to 28. Essentially, for every backup quarterback that you add on an additional like 1.4 to 1.5 running backs, an additional 2.2 to 2.5 wide receivers, and you add on slightly less or right around one tight end. What this does is this takes us to some numbers that should make a lot of sense. The first one is the total number of quarterbacks rostered of 54. Well, with 54 rostered quarterbacks, that means we have rostered all the backups on 8 NFL teams. Realistically, there's 8 NFL teams that we probably don't want to have anything to do with their backup quarterback situation. We don't really trust those guys. And so it makes sense that we would get up to that 54 number. For the running backs, we get up to 98 total running backs. That kind of makes a lot of sense. You have 3 backups rostered per NFL team. You have the backup and then the backup to the backup. Potentially the guy that might come in and steal a role if the normal backup maybe doesn't have the trust of the coaches and was just a spellback and isn't the guy that's going to shoulder most of the workload. So it makes sense that we have all of those guys rostered when we have all the quarterbacks that we likely care about, even if they get starting opportunity. At the wide receiver position, we get up to 133 wide receivers being rostered. That's slightly more than 4 per team, which makes a lot of sense. Every team has 3 starting wide receivers. You have probably a high profile backup, and then you might have another couple interesting backups that are on some teams around the league. So having slightly more than 4 rostered wide receivers, it gives us a nice baseline of like, yes, this is in fact where all of this comes together. These values are about the same. Once you have those 3 running backs rostered, you want the other wide receivers that you can take a shot on. You want to have all those high value backups outside of the guys that you really don't care about. And then that brings us to the tight ends. The tight ends, we're sitting there right at 48 tight ends rostered when you're at that 28 and 29 number. This accounts for 32 starting tight ends on every team in the league. You can add in a couple rookies and a couple high-profile backups. Nobody likes rostering the backup tight ends on NFL teams that they've never heard of, which is really a lot of the guys, or the guys that are just blocking-style tight ends. So they end up on waiver wires, and so we just have the starting tight ends that are out there for most of the snaps, catching most of the passes. And we have the couple speculative guys that we're looking for, and that's basically it. You leave everyone else on the waiver wire. So for this range, all the way from 22 up to 29, it gives you an idea of players that you can expect to find in all of your leagues. You can expect to find those backup tight ends who are not the sexy guys, not the guys that you were initially looking for. You can expect to find those running backs who are on practice squads, those guys who maybe made the team as a fourth running back and are just kind of slotted into maybe not a normal running back role on their team. Or those wide receivers who've barely made the cut, who are really fighting for that job and might potentially come out of nowhere. And lastly, all those backup quarterbacks that nobody was really excited about. What that means is that we have some areas that we can take advantage of. With the idea of any running back on a 53, you can get all those running backs who are the really speculative guys who maybe were on practice squads, who might get called up if the starter gets injured and step right into a role. And so you can have those guys in place of some of those wide receivers who aren't doing anything for your team. With the tight ends, you can rely on having access to basically every backup tight end on the week that you need it. That's why I'm able to perform the tight ends don't matter strategies, because I have access to almost every single backup tight end that I need whenever I need it. I have access to guys who are going to put up some number of points that is acceptable. It's some of the other positions, namely wide receiver, finding those guys off the waiver wire might be a lot harder because you're having to go much further down the depth chart. So it all depends on what your leagues are looking like. And in a standard league, it becomes much easier to roster those backup running backs and quarterbacks compared to rostering those wide receivers and tight ends. You don't really get an advantage for rostering the tight ends, and the wide receivers are already hard enough to predict outside of the top guys. So you need to make sure that you have more of those top guys in terms of the value that's on your team. Now, going back to when we have more than 29 roster spots, it starts to actually get kind of weird. What you see is that the total number of players rostered stays pretty stagnant. When we have 30-man rosters, we're rostering a total of 29 players. Okay, so on average, there's one open roster spot per team. That's fine. That's kind of ish what we would expect. But the total number of players rostered when you have 31 roster spots is 29.1. With 32, 29.1. With 33, it spikes up to 30.1, but then at 34, it's back down to 29.0. I think 33 is probably just another one of those weird data errors that we can't fully explain. And then at 35, it's up to that 31.6 number. So it spikes up at 35, it spikes up at 30, but 30, 31, 32, and 34 are all the same. And so what that's telling us is that above that point, fantasy players just don't really care about those guys at all. Those last couple backup quarterbacks, those running backs who have barely made the roster, who are on practice squads, those fifth wide receivers, and all of the backup tight ends. And so it's really interesting to see that that's kind of where our cutoffs are. We as fantasy managers just don't care about backup tight ends. So you can play tight ends don't matter in just about any league. You have access to all the guys that you need. The backup quarterbacks, there's almost always the ability for you to go out and grab those guys unless you're in a league where other people are performing the same strategy. With the running back position, you see all those backup running backs and they're available to you if you need them. It's just the wide receivers where you're essentially farming in the same waters as everyone else in your league. And so that's why a lot of the strategies that you see being pitched by people in the South Harmon community or people in other communities revolve around making it so that way you are not playing in those wide receiver waters. You are not playing against the other managers who are rostering all those guys on their teams. You're finding the values in those positions everywhere else. And so that's going to be my takeaway for this week. The data shows us that in random leagues, wide receivers are just over-rostered, and there's value to find at all the other positions. And the value at the tight end position is the fact that they're all going to be available for you on the waiver wire anyway. So you might as well just not roster more than you need because you always have them available to you. And that's why we see all the any QB on a 2 deep, the any running back on a 53 strategies show up, because they are available on waivers for you to get in every single one of your leagues. So going into the last two segments that I have for this week, the first one is my spam list, the players that I'm spamming out for trades to see if I can get any bites and anybody willing to take some sell high windows. The first one is to spam Daniel Jones for a second. I called this out 2 weeks ago, but after seeing 1 week of Daniel Jones doing really well, he's somebody that you should try for that same thing again. Maybe somebody is now actually willing to take that stab on him. The next one I'm going to send out is Emeka Egbuka for 2 firsts. I just want to see if I can get those from other managers for him. His value has been spiking up. He's gotten all the hype leading up into the season. He just had that first game where he got 2 touchdowns. And so if we're looking at his value, I don't know whether he is somebody that is going to really get up there and peak and become one of those top wide receivers that we're talking about, like the Jamar Chase, Justin Jefferson, players like that. And so if I can get 2 firsts, yeah, I might miss out on getting that full value hype. But if Chris Godwin comes back and it affects Egbuka's ceiling, it affects the amount of targets and the amount of looks that he's getting, well, then you're going to miss out on this initial spike. And then you'd be able to buy back in later when his value depresses a little bit, if you do truly believe in him. So that's the second one that I'm going to do. The next one is Aaron Rodgers for a second. Once again, a quarterback did well in week one, who is basically just for this year. Can I try and get a second out of another manager? I'm hoping that I can do that. As Scott Connor put succinctly in his Destination Dynasty episode this week, with a second round pick, you want to see something for the following year. This might be Aaron Rodgers' last year in the NFL. So if I can get a second round pick, that's a definite win for me. The next one is Deebo Samuel for a second and a third. If you're a rebuilder, you're sitting on a player who is 29 years old and has had 7 receptions in his first 2 games with a new team. This is the kind of guy that you can convince somebody, hey, you want to come in and buy this. Maybe you can even get 2 seconds out of Deebo. I'm not sure you can quite get there yet, but at least for a second to third, it seems pretty solid to me that for somebody in need, they'd be willing to pay that, and then you're getting yourself those extra picks that you can use to push for the future. And then lastly, 2 players who might be more of best ball rosters for you that you can sell to other teams in need. And those would be Grant Calcaterra and Jake Tungs for third round picks. Those 2 guys are 2 tight ends who are going to have opportunity this week in the case of Tungs for the next few weeks while George Kittle is out. And so you'll be able to potentially get some thirds off of those managers who need a bit of a tight end fill-in, especially in best ball or those 2 tight end kinds of leagues. So with that, that leads us into the tight ends don't matter choice for the week. Last week, we went with Austin Hooper, who got us 1 catch for 10 yards. I wasn't expecting big things, and honestly, getting 2 points out of tight end, that's the minimum that I would expect, but it works out for not having literally done any value into the tight end position. This week, I have the choice of quite a few players. I have Grant Calcaterra, Tyler Conklin, Tanner Connor, Justice Hill, Jake Tungs, and Charlie Kohler. Now, I get that Calcaterra and Tungs, they might not be available on your waiver wires at this point in the week, but you probably knew to take a stab at them earlier in the week in the chance that they would have that opportunity, and this is your opportunity to start them. For me this week, I'm going to go with Jake Tungs because I don't like the Kansas City matchup for Grant Calcaterra. He's never done well against Kansas City, and then he's also been pretty spotty like a lot of the players on Philadelphia Eagles offense are anyway, whenever you're trying to figure out which pass catcher you want. So I'm going to go with Tungs. I liked what he did last week, and so I'm going to hopefully see him be a large part of the game plan here because Luke Farrell, the tight end who's technically above him on the depth chart, is not somebody known for pass catching at all. He's played in more games than he has ever had receptions in his entire NFL career, and he's somebody who plays a decent amount. It's because he's viewed as that blocking tight end. Instead, I want to see what happens against New Orleans with Jake Tungs, and hopefully we see a good performance by him. That's everything for this week. Please do, if you ever have any questions about this show, reach out to me at Dynasty Koopa and anywhere else at Koopa Troopa 8. And as always, stay sharp and keep grinding that edge. I'll see you next week.